And Kinelach, that day, Reb Chaim was scared, but he did it. He took 20 rubles, and he goes over there to the gardens where the people take walks. And there's big iron gates, and there's an officer, there's a guard standing over there with a sword, and with a special hat, a furry hat, and a uniform, and he's guarding that nobody should go in. And Reb Chaim was very scared, and he goes over to him, he says, "Excuse me, I'd like to go for 5 or 10 minutes into the park, into the garden, and I want to speak to one of the officers." And the guard says, "What? You, a regular person and a Jew, you want to go into the park? Nobody goes into this park except special officers. Now you go away from here. Nobody's allowed to go in because there's big gates that keep everybody out. And I'm the guard. You have to go away." And Reb Chaim took out of his pocket 20 rubles. He says, "Look, I'll give you this money. Let me in for 5, 10 minutes. And just show me who is the officer in charge of the judges. I know he takes a walk around this time every day." And the guard looked around, and he looked at the money, and he likes money, the guard. And he says, "Okay, I'll let you in, but you keep it a secret. You're not allowed to tell anybody that I let you in, or else I could be in big trouble. You understand? Okay. Now you stand over there on that path, on that place where they walk, and when I see the officer of the judges, I'm going to make with my hand like this. And that means you should go to him. Okay, but I'm only going to give you 10 minutes and then you have to get out." And Reb Chaim goes in and he's so scared. And he's standing on the road, on the place where they walk, by the trees. And after a few minutes, he sees a very important looking man dressed in a special uniform, an officer of the king. And he's walking over there in the gardens, looking at the birdies and the trees and the flowers. And Reb Chaim is looking at the guard that he should make with his hands. And all of a sudden, the guard, he's making with his hands like this. Now Reb Chaim thought that it means he should go to this officer. This must be the officer that's in charge of the judges. And he goes over to the officer. He didn't see that the guard is going like this, that it's the wrong officer and he should get away from him. You understand? And all of a sudden, because he's so nervous and scared, Reb Chaim throws himself down at the feet from the officer and he says, "Please help me, officer, please, you have to help me. You have to help me, I have to go to the judge. And the people in my place where I work made a big lie. And the judge is going to think that I stole money from the king. I never stole money from the king. You know what I did? I never did it. But the workers stole money and they're making a lie. And the judge is going to send me to jail and I didn't do anything." And the officer says, "Get up off your feet. Who are you? And what do you want from me? I'm not the officer of the judges." "You're not?" "No, I'm the officer of intelligence, of smart questions. The king calls me when he wants to ask questions about the kingdom and questions about all kinds of smart things. He calls me. There's a different officer he calls about the judges. What do you want from me in the first place? I'm not that officer. And besides, you're not allowed to go to officers like that and tell them to help you in front of the judges. I could have you sent to jail for the rest of your life for coming in the garden." "You mean you're the wrong officer?" And he takes a look at the guard. And he understands the guard told him to get away from this officer, not to go for the officer. And he starts to cry. "Ay vey, what am I going to do now? I'm in such trouble. Everything is going wrong. Everything's going wrong. Nobody can help me. I even want an Alter Rebbe. And he tells me things that I don't understand. And who's going to help me at all now? I'm finished. And I go to the wrong officer. And no lawyers could help me. And the money didn't help me. And the guard didn't help me." Well, Kindleth, Reb Chaim got up and he starts to walk out from the garden. All of a sudden, the officer that he stopped, he says, "Come over here for a minute." come over here for a minute. I just got an idea. Come here. I have an idea. Maybe it's going to be good for you, and maybe it's going to be good for me. Maybe it's going to be good for both of us at the same time. What's the idea? He says, I see that you're a Jew. I see you got a beard, you got a hat, you got tzitzis, you got payas, you got a long coat. And I see that that is also helping to get you in trouble because the judge doesn't like Jews. Now, Kindalach, the officer of the smart questions of intelligence, he says to the Yid, just today, this afternoon, I was having lunch with the king himself, King Nikolai. He invited me to have lunch, and during the lunch, he asked me questions, and he wanted me to give answers. That's my job. I'm the officer of smart questions. If I can't answer the smart questions, I lose my job. I won't be able to work anymore in the palace. I'll have to work in a gas station or something. And what's better, to work in the palace or work in a gas station? Okay. And today the king asked me a smart question that I didn't know the answer. I was a little bit embarrassed. And I told the king that I hope that I'll be able to give him the answer later on in the afternoon. I'm going to go take a walk and think about the answer to the question the king asked me. So far, I don't have an answer, but since I met you, maybe you have the answer to the question. Reb Chaim says, me? Why should I know the answer to the smart question if you don't know the answer to the smart question? You're the officer, aren't you? Yes, said the officer, but the king asked me a question from the Jewish Torah. Because sometimes the king finds out what it says in the Jewish Torah, and the king doesn't know what it means. Now, Kinelach, you should know that the judges and the officers and the kings have a lot of different rules, and even by the Goyim, some of these things, a lot of these things come from the Torah. And they know it comes from the Torah. And even Lahavdil, some of the Goyish smart people also learn Gemara to find out how to make these rules and how to answer these questions, because they know that the Yiddish Torah is the smartest book in the whole world. And so, Kinelach, the king himself even sometimes learns things from the Gemara. And that day by the lunch, he asked the officer of the smart questions a smart question. And listen very carefully, because Kinelach, this is a very important part of the story, and if you don't listen to it, you're not going to get the story. He says, by lunch today, the king said, I heard that it says in the Yiddish Torah, in the Gemara, in the Talmud, it says the kingdom of the earth is like the kingdom of the heaven. Now, I don't know what that means. How is the kingdom of the earth like the kingdom of the heaven? How is that? I'm a king on the earth. How is my being king like the kingdom of the heaven? I don't know what that means. Maybe you have an answer what it means. And if you have a smart answer what it means, I'll be able to go to the king, tell him the smart answer, and if the king likes the answer, maybe you are going to get a special favor from the king that he'd be able to help you. Because when a person does a good thing what the king likes, the king himself makes sometimes a special prize. And of course we know that the king is higher than all the other officers. And so, Kindalach, Reb Chaim's face turned red like a tomato. His eyes started to pop out of his head. His mouth was open. And he remembered the words of the Alter Rebbe. Don't you remember, Kinelach? The Alter Rebbe said something that didn't make any sense, and all of a sudden now, it's exactly the same question that the officer of the smart questions is asking Reb Chaim. And he got so excited. He wanted to jump up and down in the trees. He was so excited. And now Kindle Lachon Reb Chaim says, "Officer, I think I have a nice answer that the king will like." It says like this: "Hashem is the king of the Shemayim, and out of respect for the king, for Hashem, we show a certain way of respect about the way we say Hashem's name. Now, we're not allowed to say Hashem's name. Even though Hashem has a name, we know we'd never say it. It's so halik, we never say it. We change and we only call him Ad Hashem. We change the name. And that means that Hashem is the ruler, but it's not Hashem's name. It only means Hashem is the boss, and it does not be Hashem's name. Hashem's own name, nobody says it. And the same way is by the King Nikolai. When you're talking to the king, you don't say Nikolai to his face. It's not covered for the king. You call him Kesar, which means the ruler. And his own name you don't use. And this is showing covered for the king to say that the king is special like Hashem is special." And Kindelach, the officer of the smart questions, heard that and he got so happy. He says, "That's a very good answer. Not only it's a good answer, it's an answer that the king will like because it shows covered for the king. It shows how it's special to be the king and people are careful to treat the king nice and special. Now, you go back where you're staying." And he says, "When is your trial?" He says, "My trial is tomorrow." He says, "Okay, I'm going to take the name of the place you're staying and I'm going to go back now to the king. If the king likes your answer, it might be that he'd be able to help you." And so Kindelach, the officer of the smart questions, went back to the king that evening and he told the king the answer. He didn't say where he got it. He just said to the king the answer. And the king was very, very happy with the answer. He liked the answer very much. And he said to the officer of the smart questions, "By the way, where did you get that answer? Did you think that up when you went for a walk in the garden by yourself?" And the officer said, "No, as a matter of fact, in the garden when I was walking, I met a Jew." And the king says, "A Jew in the garden? What's a Jew doing in the garden? There's no Jews allowed in that garden, only my officers. And I don't have any Jewish officers." "Well, as a matter of fact, this Jew sneaked into the garden." "What?" the king says. "He sneaked in? Why?" "Well, he's in a big trouble. And it seems he's telling the truth because he just seems like an honest man. And he told the king about the trouble that the man has with the trial. And he says, this is the Jew that gave me the smart answer to your question." And the king said, "You know, such a smart man who has such a nice answer and is treating me so nice with COVID, probably is telling the truth. You know what? Bring him here. Let me speak to him." And the officer that night went to the hotel where the Yid was staying, Reb Chaim. And all of a sudden, at night, pretty late, there's a knock on the door. And Reb Chaim sees the officer, and he got afraid. Maybe the officer's going to take him to jail, and he wants to hide and run under his bed. And the officer says, "No, come here, Reb Chaim. Do you know who wants to see you tonight? The king himself." "Why? Does he want to chop off my head?" "No, he wants to speak to you. He was very happy with that answer that you said from the Gemara." "Well, it wasn't really my answer. It was the answer from the Alter Rebbe." "Well, you come and explain to the king." And Reb Chaim went in front of the king. And he told him that he got the answer from the Alter Rebbe. And he told him that the Alter Rebbe is the leader of the Hasidim. And he went to the Alter Rebbe for a bracha that he shouldn't have to go to jail. And he shouldn't have to be put in jail by the judges to work in the snow in Siberia for the rest of his life. And the king was sitting on his throne, listening, very interested. He sees, this Alter Rebbe must be a very special heilige mensch. And I see that you're not guilty. You go to the trial tomorrow, but I'm going to make sure that everything is going to be okay. I'm going to take care of it. And Kenelach, the next day was the trial. And Reb Chaim went to the trial. It was full of people. And the Goyim brought all their families and friends. And as soon as Reb Chaim walked into the courtroom, they all said, boo! And all the Goyim that came to see over there started saying, boo! And everybody was against Reb Chaim. And the judge came in front over there. And Reb Chaim was afraid, but he knew the king had promised to help him. Now, usually what they did was like this. Each one has a turn. They get up on the special chair, and the judge asks them a bunch of questions. Now, the judge is smart, and he asks a whole bunch of questions, one after the other. Even says in the Rambam, the way the judges in the Sanhedrin used to do, they used to ask a lot of questions, one after the other, to see is the man a liar or he's telling the truth. Whoever is up on the chair, the Mashal Reb Chaim has to be on the chair, and the Goyim who says Reb Chaim steal the money have to be up on the chair, and each one gets questions. Now, if the judge doesn't like the Jew, he puts him up on the thing, he asks him a question, he asks him a whole bunch of questions, he mixes them up, and he sends him to jail. The Goyim go up, he asks one question, he says, get down, you can go home. And that's what Reb Chaim thought is going to happen to him. And the Goyim were smiling because they thought that they're going to have one question and go home, and Reb Chaim is going to go to jail. But everybody was in for a big surprise. What happened was, first the judge called up the Goyim to sit on the chair. And the judge says, now I'm going to ask you questions. And the Goyim looked at each other. The judge is going to ask us an easy question, and we're going to answer it and go down. Then he's going to put the Jew up on the chair, ask him a whole bunch of questions, mix up his head, and send him to jail. And so the Goyim got up on there, and the judge starts asking questions, and this and that, and he's asking one after the other, and the Goyim was schwitzing, they were trying to answer the questions, but since they were liars, it so happened that everybody saw that they answered the questions with lies, and the judge caught him in lies, and he says, okay, it looks like you're a bunch of liars, and now I'm going to call Reb Chaim. And he called Reb Chaim and asked him a few questions. Reb Chaim answered them very easily. And the judge says, okay, this is what has to happen. Reb Chaim goes home to his family, and the workers go to jail for 55 years, working in the snow, digging holes, sleeping with only one blanket, and eating raw fish. Now, Kenelach, the story is not over now. We have to finish the story. You thought it was over. Shh. After the trial, Reb Chaim went back to Vilna, and even before he went home, he stopped at the house of his friend, Reb Meir Foyles, because Reb Meir Foyles is the one that told him in the first place that he should go to the Alter Rebbe. And he told Reb Meir everything that happened and how the answer of the Alter Rebbe was with Ruach HaKodesh. And the Alter Rebbe told him exactly what he needed to help him. And the Eibishter helped with such a ness that he was able to come home safely. And the Goyim went to the jail. Now, if you remember, Kenelach, in the first story about the Meshuggah lady, Reb Meir Foyles already saw that the Alter Rebbe was a big, big tzaddik, but he still wasn't 100% sure. And that's why he kept it quiet and he stayed in Vilna. Now that Reb Chaim came and he told Reb Meir Foyles all about this story, about how he got saved and Alter Rebbe answered him such a thing that he saw was Ruach HaKodesh, Now Reb Meir Feuels had two stories from the Alter Rebbe that he saw that the Alter Rebbe is for sure a big, big Halakha Tzaddik. And so Kindalach, Reb Meir Feuels decided he's going to pack up his suitcase. He's not going to live in Vilna again with all the misnagdim who talk against the Alter Rebbe. But he packed up his suitcase and he moved to the town of the Alter Rebbe. And he went to the shul of the Alter Rebbe. And he went to the Verbrengens of the Alter Rebbe. And he learned Chassidus and he learned Tanya. And he became a big, big Chassid of the Alter Rebbe. Reb Meir Feuels became one of the biggest Chassidim of the Alter Rebbe, and he learned Chassidus, and he taught people Chassidus. And that's the real end of the story, how a big misnagid like Reb Meir Feuels changed around to become a big, big Chassid, because he saw the greatness of the Alter Rebbe, and the Halakhite and Ruach HaKadosh of the Alter Rebbe. Now, one thing we learned from the story, Kindalach, if a tzaddik says something, and we don't understand it, does it mean, Chas v'Shalom, we shouldn't do it, or we should say, like the Yidden said by Har Sinai, Na'aseh v'nishma, first we'll do it, later on we'll understand it. Right? Kind of luck, because the words of a tzaddik are like the words of Hashem, they're halik. We can't understand Hashem, we can't always understand a tzaddik. Over here, the Alter Rebbe said something they didn't understand, but they said, Na'aseh, we're going to do what the Alter Rebbe says. And in the end, they had v'nishma also. They understood what the Alter Rebbe meant later on. Same thing, the Rebbe Shlita tells us to do something. We don't always understand what it is or why it is, but first we do it, and maybe we'll be zeichet later on to understand what the Rebbe meant. And even if not, we know we're doing the right thing because the Rebbe Shlita said to do it. And the tzaddik is higher than us, and we don't always understand exactly what is the reason sometimes, just like by Hashem. Kinalach, there's learning and then there's caring about learning. And that's what the story is about. There was once a great tzaddik and he had a daughter. A very nice Yiddish meidele who learned in the girls' yeshiva and who helped her mommy in the house and was nice to the orachim and had very good midos of chesed like a Yiddish meidele should have. And she was have your shemayim. And it came time that she was old enough to get married, to become a kalamedel, to have a chasene. And her tati wanted a nice chasen, and a frum chasen, and a talmud chacham chasen, and a special chasen bacher. And he wanted to find for her a special shidduch that would be good for her, his daughter, a fine medel as she was. And so, kiddies, the tzaddik father of this girl, the tzaddik decided he's going to make a special kind of a way to find the chasen. And this is what he did. He's going to go around to the different yeshivas where the best bachrim are, where they learn Torah nice and good. And he's going to have a question, a very difficult question in Torah, a Torah question, a shaila, and he's going to ask the Bachrim this question. And whoever could answer the question, he will be the one to marry the tzaddik's daughter, because this question was a very difficult question, and only a very special Bachar would be able to answer this question. Not every Bachar, and only one in 1,000 or 10,000 maybe we'll be able to answer the question. He only has to find one chosen, that's all. And the tzaddik got into the wagon and he traveled now to the first yeshiva, a very good, famous yeshiva of fine bachrim. And he went to the Rosh Yeshiva. Of course, everybody stood up for this great tzaddik who they knew who he was. And he explained to the Rosh Yeshiva he's there to find the shidduch for his daughter and he would like the best bachrim to come into a room with him. And he's going to ask them the shaila. And he's going to see who has the answer. And the Rosh Hashiva got together the best, finest bachrim, and they went into the special room of the tzaddik. And now he asked the question. And it was a very difficult question in learning. And the bachrim started to think, and they started to take down Sfarim and look up. Maybe they could find the answer, how to put it together. Some were looking, some were thinking. And then they tried to answer the question, and no one in the whole room could answer the question. Well, the tzaddik said, I'm sorry, but nobody in this room can be the chassan for my daughter, because I've decided that only the bachur that can answer this question will be able to be the chassan for my daughter. I'm going to go to a different yeshiva. And he left, he said goodbye, and he went into his wagon, and he traveled across the town to another yeshiva. And the same thing over there, he gathered bachrim together, the best ones. He went into a room, he asked the question. There's only one shaila. And the bachrim tried and tried to answer the question, and nobody figured it out. And so nobody in that town could be able to do it, so he went to another town and another city and another yeshiva, and he traveled around many, many places for days and weeks, and not one bachur was able to answer the question. Finally, one day, the tzaddik went to a very fine yeshiva, as were the other yeshivas, but this time, a very interesting thing happened, a little bit different. He had gathered the bachurim into the room, he had asked the question, again, no one could answer it, and the tzaddik left the yeshiva. He went into his wagon, and he's driving off away from the yeshiva. And all of a sudden, he hears a voice screaming, please, please, stop, stop the wagon. And the tzaddik looks around, and he sees one of the bachrim, who had been in the room to try to answer the question, was running after the wagon. And the tzaddik is wondering, why is that bachur running after my wagon? After all, he couldn't answer the question. And the bachur says, please, please stop. I have to talk to you. I have to ask you something. Well, the tzaddik asked his driver to stop the wagon. And the tzaddik says, look, what do you want to ask me? And the bachur said, look, I hope you don't mind. Even though I couldn't answer the question and I couldn't marry your daughter, I understand. But even if I can't marry your daughter, I would like to know the answer to the question. It bothers me that there's a question in Torah and I just can't figure out the answer for it. So please, I know I can't marry your daughter, but can I please hear the answer to the question? Then I'll be learning something new in Torah. And the tzaddik smiled. And he says, you should know something. You are going to be the chosen for my daughter. The boy says, what? Me? But I didn't get the answer to the question. And you said only who could answer the question, he will be the chosen for your daughter. And I wasn't able to figure it out. Ah, the tzaddik says, this is exactly the trick of the question. I made such a question that no one could answer. It's impossible to answer. But I didn't really want somebody to answer the question. I was testing every bachur. I wanted the bachur who, even if he can't marry my daughter, he loves the Torah so much that he wants to know the answer to the question, even if he can't marry my daughter. Every yeshiva I went to, I asked the bachrim the question, and nobody could figure it out, and they left the room, and I left the yeshiva, and it was just, you know, they couldn't marry my daughter, so the question wasn't worth answering anymore, because they couldn't get the prize for the question. Marrying my daughter is like a prize. Are you supposed to learn Torah for a prize? Or the best way to learn Torah is even without a prize, only for Hashem. What is the really highest way to learn Torah? It's called Torah Lishma, Torah only for Hashem, even if you're not getting something for it. And all the Bachrim forgot about the question as soon as they left the room. And you're the first Bachar that the question bothered you so much, you didn't even care anymore about marrying my daughter. You wanted to know the answer to the question because you care so much about learning Torah. And that's exactly the Bachar that I wanted to find. Who cares so much about Torah that even if he's not going to get the prize for the Torah, he wants the Torah because he wants Hashem and he wants the Torah with Hashem together, even if he doesn't get a prize for it. And so he says to the Bachar, come into the wagon and we'll pack up your things and you come to meet my daughter because I want you to become my chosn and my Eden, my son-in-law, and we'll make a beautiful big chasaneh, and you'll sit and learn Torah.